Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
When Paul Maurice said just a few days ago, everybody bleeping breathe, I don't think he was taking in the greater picture here. The fact that it's not that easy based on the air quality that we are all dealing with to various levels. So I start off with a heartfelt, I hope you are well. I hope you are managing this just, again, crazy time that we're living in and the challenges with our air quality. So that, Marty, came out of left field, almost like it came out of left field at PNC Park, right?
Yeah, that's exactly where you are right now. You could probably
I'm not. I don't like baseball, but it's nearby.
Well, it's nearby. I was going to say you'd probably jump out the window, swim across the river, and then make it over left field. So you
there's
could
actually
that.
There's. I think I'm near train tracks.
Oh, and, so you don't want to do that.
And there's. There's vegetation out the window, you know, overgrowth, let's say. Yeah. And there's some sort of sign. But I can only read a portion of the words. And I think it says, where are we going?
Okay.
And I mean, look at the air around us. Is this not like a sign?
Well, usually like in more ways than one? Usually the question is, are we there yet? Especially, but now on the train track, you go by, where are we going? You know, who knows? Maybe it's a surprise. Yes, the air, though. First off, I mean, these wildfires, northern Quebec, are somewhere in the area where I played my midget AAA season, right? About, 7-8 hours north of Montreal. Which is no threat right now to any big cities, but it is still out there, and they don't have it under control, and they need rain, and the smoke is coming down here. Now, in Buffalo, it is pretty bad. You go outside, it wasn't that bad this morning, but it got worse hour after hour. You go outside, and it is smoky, and it's tough to breathe, but in Rochester, New York right now is where it is the worst. Their air quality is not like unhealthy for some or unhealthy for all. It's hazardous. There's a certain chart. And you get to 300, it's bad. It's above 300. That bad. So everybody in Rochester,
be
safe, but also you may have some leftover mask around from COVID. You go outside, don't hesitate, throw on a mask. It's going to help a little bit, at least for those that have to be outside.
And look after your pets. That goes without saying. It would be incredibly challenging for them to be out in these conditions too. We talk about the climate. Obviously, this Stanley Cup final is driven by the southernmost teams to be going head to head here. Yes. And obviously we shift from Vegas to Florida. Game 3 happens tomorrow and it will be in Sunrise. Now, Radko Gudas has obviously been an interesting player for the Panthers in the playoffs and all year long, even out of market, shall we say, because of his pending unrestricted free agency. So a lot of teams and a lot of markets, including that of Buffalo, keenly interested in how he plays and whether he should be a consideration for upping the defense core of the Sabres next year. He, of course, has had some injury challenges in this postseason. He got run over by Barbashev in the last game and left eventually. He's not practicing today. It's potentially a big hole. It's not the game breaker, in my opinion, for the series, obviously, but it is worth noting based on the fact that both of those players involved in that collision are talking points for their own reasons.
Yes. So, yes, Radko Gudas got run over by Barbashev, although Gudas was trying to run over Barbashev, and Barbashev was like, hold my beer as I lay the shoulder down and protect myself, right? And Gudas basically ran headfirst into Barbashev's shoulder. But what we are now seeing out of Ivan Barbashev, especially in Vegas, but what we saw out of him in St. Louis as well, he's a thick player mm-hmm. that can handle the physicality and has been able to put up some really good numbers to back it up. And yes, mm-hmm. he will be a UFA this summer, and that may mean cha-ching, cha-ching for Ivan Barbashev. Look, I would assume he's going to be looking for a seven-year deal wherever he goes, right? But, well, wouldn't you? Like, if you're going to hit free agency and your first time hitting the market in that way, you would want to cash in as to what you've been able to do.
Now, I guess I always look at it from the reality as opposed to the individual player want.
Yes.
So I would think max would be 5 years, but I could see a four with a little higher cap hit. He's 28 okay. years old. You have to remember that. So
yeah, no, yes, but you're thinking you're going to get the best out of Ivan Barbashev in the Maybe. Next 3 to 4 years.
But you didn't in the regular season.
Well,
after
that's why
a
got
career
traded.
Season, which is yes. why, well, I mean, he got traded because St. Louis was in a position to load up, and now they've got 3 first-round picks.
Yes.
You know, like they're, but Barbashev, do you have a comp in mind before we go into numbers? Like, without saying numbers, I have a guy in mind who, like, we're talking year over year, Stanley Cup playoffs, very noticeable, needs a deal, had an immediate impact on his new team.
I don't have that person. I'm trying to think year to year.
Last year, came from Montreal, went to Colorado.
Oh, yeah, Arturi Lehkonen.
So Arturi Lehkonen makes yes. about $4.5 million now yes. on his new deal with Colorado. Barbashev's at 2.7, expiring deal. Our friend, James Finch in yep. Rochester from AFP Analytics, has him, Barbashev that is, in line for 4 years, 16.8, which falls in pretty close to this, you know, and I, most people don't like making direct comps, right? Everybody's got a little something different in their game, but in the big picture of how you're piecing together a team, age-wise, experience, winger, can do some scoring, I think these guys are pretty comparable. So I think the salary is going to be pretty close to 4.5. Wouldn't you?
They are pretty comparable because of the impact that they have on a game. I think Barbashev has more upside offensively. And yep. he's shown 2 years ago with his 60-point season and coming into Vegas and getting 16 points in 23 games, which is not a point a game, but it would be a 60-point average over 82 games. So yeah. you think of it that way and you say, okay, what is 60-point worth in the National Hockey League now? And 60-point is worth close to $5.5-6 million, depending on your age, depending on the length of the contract, depending on how much you score versus how many assists you get. So I think Barbashev's going to be that shiny toy. Like, this summer's free agent pool is not one that is highlighted by great names, right? And it reminds me a lot of when we saw 7 years ago, the 2016 like free agent pool, which had Kaloposo, for example, mm-hmm. on that list, right? We're getting out of those contracts now, right? Those 7 year deals that were big money and that kind of fell flat a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling like this summer may be the same type of crop that you're getting that you did in 2016. So there's going to be somebody out there that's going to say, I want Ivan Barbashev. I want that guy for 7 years, and I'm going to give him $5.5 million a year, where, you know, you're overpaying a player $1 million a year for 7 years.
I think he'll be paid more like a 50-point player. And I do wonder, seriously, even though the rumblings, for obvious reasons, because they're two wins away from the Stanley Cup and Barbashev has been a part of it, so why wouldn't you talk about Vegas wanting to potentially retain the player?
Yeah.
My question to you would be, is Barbashev actually sexy enough for Vegas to want to keep him? Because they always do things their way and to a certain extent, unexpectedly. So while they could have the books set and maybe poised, especially with almost no money committed to netminders, even if they give Aiden Hill a nice boost, you could run, like, why wouldn't you? But again, it's Vegas, so you never know. But like, why wouldn't you run the Thompson-Hill tandem moving forward? They're best buddies. They train together. Great story in The Athletic today. Check it out on my retweet at Duffer Sabres. Like, it's so good, the story of Aiden Hill and how Braden Point played a role in his development. Like, it's just awesome. And so these are obvious, like, you could line yourself up if you're Vegas to retain Barbashev, but I would think they might just go off the board again. Try to find someone different.
Here's the thing. Vegas right now, you look at their cap numbers next year, they already have 11 forwards under contract.
Yeah.
And they do have two RFAs that I think are pieces of them moving forward. And Dorofeev, and Brett Howden, right? And
What they need to do is they got to get out of that multi-year Paul Cotter deal. It's killing them.
Well, it's killing them. $775,000, right? Like, no, it's not killing them.
For what, 5 more years?
No, two more. It's crazy. So now with those two RFAs, they're at 13 forwards.
Yeah.
Right? And they have their defense core set. Yeah. With from Petrangelo to Nick Hag, it's all set for next year. Yeah. So
that's why I think they can swing bigger.
Need to say Barbashev is our guy, or do we go look for something else? Mm-hmm. I do believe that the Vegas Golden Knights they're built differently in the fact that they don't just say, "Hey, we like you, and we owe you to stay with us." They're like, you know what? Thank you for what you've done. Good luck next year. Like, that's been a lot of what they've done. Like, look, Alex Tuck was a big part of their team. Uh-huh. They're like, hey, you know what? Thank you for what you've done. Good luck in Buffalo. That's the way it goes. They're first round picks, you know, that it is Cody Glass or Peyton Krebs or whatever. Mm-hmm. Hey, we love you. We drafted you, but good luck somewhere else. That's the way it works.
And they still have. In the next 3 years, including this one, they have all their first round picks. It's funny, you know, like they don't have this high end success rate from a drafting standpoint. But even though they're on the cusp of the cup, they haven't blown all their first round picks out the door trying to acquire people either. It is such a unique management style. And you think of how short their lifespan is in the NHL already and how many coaches they've gone through. And how many high-end players. But to your point about loyalty, it is interesting who they've kept and the internal salary cap, so to speak, because they've got all those defensemen in place. They've got Kolesar on a great deal. They've got Carrier on a great deal. They got Nick Waugh on an unbelievable deal.
Yeah.
They had Nick Hague, who we talked about yesterday, on a terrific deal. And when the world, hockey world, thought there was no way Riley Smith was coming back, based on cap considerations, boom, Riley Smith came back. Why? Because they love him, and he's an original. And there's certain guys that they are loyal to, even though in the big picture, they don't necessarily breed that loyalty slogan.
Well, you talk about their internal cap. So they only have two forwards making over $5.9 million. Mm-hmm. And that's Mark Stone and Jack Eichel. Yeah. Like, that is incredible management feat to say, hey, you know what? Everybody on our forward group is going to be mostly $5.9 million. And that's William Karlsson, which they gave him that contract after 40 goals in the first year and a trip to the Stanley Cup finals. So
long before Stone and Eichel were ever in their plans.
Exactly. Yeah. But you have Marchessault at five and Riley Smith at five. And you got all these guys that are. So you did a masterful job of managing the numbers moving forward, even though, you know, they did make a lot of trades and they acquired. They, they saw needs and they swung for those needs, right? They needed a number one defenseman. Well, they went and got Alex Pietrangelo. Yeah, they're paying him almost $9 million. But who wouldn't pay a number one defenseman like Alex Pietrangelo $9 million?
That is right? Stanley Cup captain, Stanley Cup winning, gold medal this, gold medal that, gold medal everything, Alex Pietrangelo. Yeah.
And then who's the next guy on the list? It's Jay Alec Theodore. Martinez.
Well, so,
Stanley Cup champion, and he makes 5.25.
Expiring deal, right?
Expiring next year. So in a year from now.
Oh, Martinez still has one more.
He
still has one more year. The whole group is pretty much set. So
the
that's
whole
great.
Group is set. Yeah. So it doesn't matter. But
okay,
but which great for Vegas this year actually is knowing also that the worst timing in the world when it comes to a general manager is winning a cup and having five guys on expiring contracts.
I got one worse than that. Which, being great and not winning the cup.
And not winning a cup, yes.
See, well, Buffalo 06 and 07. That was the hardest thing for Darcy Regier because we were coming into a salary cap world for the first time.
Yes.
And what do? Everybody was in love with everybody as far as the players on the roster.
And everybody was coming off contract. They needed a new contract. So after going to the conference finals, you need to sign a few guys. And you're like, okay, well, next year we may win the cup. And then you win the President's Trophy. You go to the conference finals again. Mm-hmm. And then Vanek needs a new contract. And everybody needs new contracts. So you're making decisions. Yeah. Absolutely. That's worse. But where Vegas is at this year, they could put the cup over their heads.
Yep.
And not have to re-sign a single player other than Dorofiev and Brett Howden.
Right. So
and Aiden Hill. But yes, yeah.
Yeah, they'll make it work. So the bigger question, which of course is Sabres driven, it's Sabres Live after all, and we're in between games in the Stanley Cup Final, and we're already looking at free agency, and there was a huge trade in the NHL yesterday, and the draft is coming up. So yeah, everything's connected to the Sabres here. But just to put a punctuation point on Barbashev, should there be any interest from the Sabres in this player?
Oh, see, I like the group of forwards that the Sabres have. I don't feel that there's room for a player like Barbashev in the top nine. And he's definitely not a fourth liner. You wouldn't be paying him like a fourth liner. So I don't see room. I see a group of player in Buffalo, again, where you're building, hoping to win it. Within 5 years, you're hoping to win a Stanley Cup. And why I'm saying that, because again, if you don't, you're going to be in a position where you're going to have really, really good players and they will do well. I think the Sabres forwards are going to do well. They're going to have stats to back it up. They're going to make good money, but you need to win it or you're going to be caught in a place where you would be, you know, 16 years ago. So no, I wouldn't go after a guy like Barbashev just because I feel that there's not a spot for him in the top six or in the top nine right now.
You're saying that based on projecting young players. There's no question Barbashev is more established and would easily be in Buffalo's top six or at the very least top nine right now. My another layer to this, and obviously re-signing Kyle does take up one of those spots, no matter how you view it, right? Like how much Kyle's going to play and stuff. The organization has also very recently signed a lot of Russians.
Yes.
Does it help to have Barbashev for 4 years on $5 million to help in some way, in any way possible? I'm just throwing it out there.
You would have to do your homework. I don't know Ivan Barbashev personally to know if he's the type of guy that I remember when Teppo Neuminen was in Buffalo. It was like he's the godfather, right? Like he was the guy that all the Finns were looking up to, right? And that was the guy. Like, and we've done that with the Swedes a little bit here in Buffalo.
We have Lyubushkin. I get it.
Too. And we do have Lyubushkin, and I think Lyubushkin would be a guy that would. Look, he's a nice person, and I do believe that he'd be able to help a lot of these Russian guys. But again, okay, so after saying that I don't see that there is a spot for Barbashev, now I go back to, okay, but you could always move a player from the top six or the top nine and open up a spot. which is something that we've discussed when it comes to a player like maybe Victor Olofsson or moving forward last year. I do think that Casey Middlestad has now found himself a really solid place into this group. And I would move forward, continue to move forward with Casey Middlestad. But look, is Yuri Kulik penciled in or penned in moving forward? He's still a young player.
I would say pencil at most.
Okay, he's still a young player. And there's great energy when the Rochester Americans are playing and Kulik is scoring in six straight playoff games and you're like, that's a Buffalo guy, right? And Matt Savoy is playing in Winnipeg and is burning the Western Hockey League in juniors and doing well. But there's a big step still between producing it in juniors or producing in the American League and being a top six or top nine producing players. We saw that with J.J. Paterka, Jack Quinn this year, right? J.J. Paterka, best forward at the World Junior, at the World Championship, not the World Juniors, World Championship.
Man of the Year, isn't he about
man
to be?
He's on the list of Man of the Year when it comes to IIHF and whatnot. But you still need to see a much, much increased production out of J.J. Paterka next year to have the impact that you project them to have, right? Yeah. So Barbashev already has that impact, in my opinion. And
what if he's actually playing with good players? Like, well, wherever you plug Barbashev in, don't you think his line's going to be pretty darn good?
Yes.
Like, I think it's reasonable to see across-the-board production similar to what he's had at his best in St. Louis and is currently experiencing now in Vegas.
Well, if you were to put, Barbashev on a line with Cousins and name the other winger, like you're already saying, or Casey Middlestad, because you say, hey, you know what? Maybe that's the line, right? I think that's something that would be a possibility. Mm-hmm. When you ask me those questions, I always struggle to think in two ways. One, what do I want? And what do I think the organization want and will do?
And then it's compounded because you're thinking in two languages, which takes even longer to get to the proper answer.
Those fires in Quebec make me think in French all the time.
I know. Oh, man.
That's French smoke that's coming down. That's happening. That's messing me up.
How do you say it?
Smoke? Boucan. Yeah.
Well, we've had enough
Buccaneers.
Of that.
Like, I think of the Buccaneers. Like, when I thought the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, when I was, like, a young kid, and they have pirates, and I'm thinking it's because of the cannons and the smoke. Like, that's Boucan. Like, that's what it is.
Okay. So, Barbashev has been put to bed, kind of. Well, he's, like, on a... He's on a day bed by the window there. Like, we'll see. But the other part of yesterday, obviously, oh my gosh, we're 20 in and didn't destroy this topic yet. Who wins the three-way deal between the Kings, the Flyers, and the Jackets? I'm going to assume it wasn't the Jackets.
It's not the Jackets that won it, although they get Provorov at a $4 million like reduced tag, and he's not going to be their number one defenseman. And I think on a second pair, he will have an impact, and he's pretty decent hockey player, physically strong, he can skate. I just don't think he's got good hockey sense, but that's a whole other thing. Maybe you don't need that if you're on a second pair. But I'm putting the Blue Jackets third on the list. Second, I'm putting the Philadelphia Flyers. I understand that they acquired a $5 million AHL goalie, and that's Cal Peterson. But they also got Sean Walker on the last year of his deal. And I think Sean Walker is a standout leader and will help that blue line. And they got a first-round pick. They got 2 seconds. They got a prospect. I really feel like Danny Briere and the Flyers did really well in trading Provorov and getting 5 pieces back, right? Mm-hmm. So I think they did good. But the winner, without a doubt, of the deal is the LA Kings. And they didn't even get a player. They got a couple of prospects, but they retained...
No, they're not prospects. They're actually veteran guys. They're not...
It says AHL junior next to them. I didn't even bother to look them up because I'm like, they don't even care. Yeah. The LA Kings don't care.
This is not a disrespect or slight to the players. You're right. The Kings don't care about whatever those names are. Their care was, even after eating a little bit of the salary going out the door, they're 5.6 to the good
for
this coming season. That's a big win.
So
especially
that's
when we
a huge
all know,
win.
How many times throughout the year did we talk about the Cal Peterson saga, right? Yeah.
They were in trouble all year with the cap because of that, right? But they were able to get rid of the $5 million Cal Peterson. Walker was two and change, a little under $3 million. So they ate Provorov, you know, 2 point some million. So yeah, they're 5.6 on the plus, which allows them now to either say, hey, you know what? Let's go get a goaltender. Mm-hmm. Let's go get a Connor Hellebuyck, or we can sign somebody or trade for somebody. Yeah. Or
quick, the reason they can do that, they're still flush with prospects. So now that they have cap room for Hellebuyck, they can play hardball with anybody out there making a deal.
They can definitely trade prospects and go get a goaltender. Look, they beat, okay, in my opinion, they beat, who did they play in the first round? The Edmonton Oilers this year. If they're getting Connor Hellebuyck tile goaltender, Caprizello wasn't bad, but he wasn't great.
Right.
I think that they probably surprised the Oilers in the first round. If that's the case, they have Deneau, they have Kopitar, they have Doughty playing at a high level. They have a lot of good players, but also they made a strong deal this year going to get Gavrikov from Columbus. And that may be part of making the deal is having that money to re-sign Gavrikov. Mm-hmm. And get him signed, well, long term or medium term for them, and
I'll
make it work.
Yeah, I mean, and they were so deep in the prospect pool on the blue line that it was a no brainer for them to be able to make that trade. And the one thing that I consistently say with Columbus is I don't even like attempting to judge what their season was based on the catastrophic number of injuries, most of which happened simultaneously to their blue line. They literally lost like four guys in two games, including the best of the bunch, Zach Werenski, for basically the whole year. I think an underrated defenseman, Jake Bean, basically the whole year. He played 14 games. You haven't seen David Juracek play yet. And, you know, beyond that on the prospects, like they drafted Denton Mateychuk not long ago in the first round either. So like, they are going to be a better defense group just based on manpower and healthy, not to mention whatever structure comes with the presumption of Mike Babcock. Their trick is actually also going to be, what are they going to get in goal, right? Like, and again, it's not fair to label any of last year's disaster on the goaltending based on the injuries that they had, which was over 500 man games lost, but I can't imagine anybody in the organization, especially with the goaltending pedigree of John Davidson, is super happy with how they look right now.
No, they can't be happy how they look. Regardless of the injuries and the way the team played ahead of them, Merzlikins has been in a downward spiral for a few years now. Unfortunately, since his buddy Kovlinik's passed, you know, in the summertime, I really feel that it's hard and heavy on Merzlikins to be in that surrounding. I think Merzlikins has all the abilities, but he seems to be chasing it right now. And I think just like the LA Kings were able to move Cal Peterson's contract, I think that if I am the Columbus Blue Jackets, I'm saying, can we move Merzlikins' contract? Can we free up $5.4 million? The problem is it's four more years. But Merzlikins is a goaltender that has all the natural abilities. Mm-hmm. And I would think that's why I feel that the goalie market this summer, when it comes to trade, free agency, RFAs, potentially offer sheets, it is going to be a very busy market, and Columbus could throw themselves in there as well.
Yeah. So real quick on this before break, would you think that, and again, the strongest point in all that is the term left on Merzlikins' deal. It is definitely cumbersome to try to round out the picture. And no slight on Tarasov. Maybe they can lean on him. Maybe they can't. He's young, inexperienced. But would they be a player, in your opinion, for someone on like a lower grade salary like a Ranta?
Well, they could very well be. I think Ranta is going to end up staying in Carolina.
Yeah,
that's my gut feeling.
Well, I was going to say Samsonov, but if you have to spend more on Samsonov, you know, like acquire him and then pay him, that probably wouldn't fit your profile too well, having all the money you're paying to Merzlikins. So
yeah, so Samsonov, in my opinion, will probably be around $4.5 million.
Right.
So give or take $500,000 here or there. What's a 500,000, right? I mean, but I think he'll be around there.
Know.
So now you're 5.4 in Merzlikins, it'd be 4.5 in Samsonov. You're paying $9 million to two goalies that
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I don't know, right? We have two. If you'd say you have two number one, you probably don't have one. So that's the problem. Mm-hmm. But I do think, again, like, if you're the Maple Leafs, are you re-signing Samsonov? Are you in the market? Are you starting the wheel? Is Calgary going to trade one of their – there's so much to talk about when it comes to the goalie market. Mm-hmm. And, like, and yesterday's deal kind of threw a whole, like, whoa, Cal Peterson was traded?
Yep.
So that means that even could you trade Jack Campbell with the Oilers? Could mm-hmm. you trade Jacob Markstrom? Could you trade Thatcher Demko? Could you trade anybody? Like,
John
they're all
Gibson,
part of the conversation.
Boom, 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 John boom, Gibson, boom, yes. Down the line. And guess what? Buffalo gets entangled in all of this because it's a discussion that never goes away. And to be fair, there may not be, for people viewing this team, clarity in their eyes in the crease. There's three guys that are likely, but does that mean those are the only three names we're going to be talking about throughout the summer? Hard to know. That's why we're asking you, which name is of most interest to you? At Sabres Live on Twitter, you mentioned Matt Savoy from a forward prospect standpoint moments ago. We'll revisit his end of season story also when we come back here on Sabres Live.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.